take an aluminum can, crush it with a can crushing device, and the event will go unnoticed. Crush that same can with your bare hands, and you might get some attention. Break some bricks with a sledgehammer, and all that's really accomplished is a lot of noise and broken bricks. Break some bricks while wearing a black belt, however, and you might draw some applause. Kill a lion with a rifle, and you probably will impress some people. Kill a lion with your bare hands, and you have an event of biblical proportions. Destroy a lion-like being mentioned in the scriptures with your bare hands, and you have something which only Christ himself could and did accomplish. At the mention of a lion being killed with bare hands, perhaps the name of Samson came to mind. His is a familiar account recorded in the book of Judges, where in the 14th chapter we're told, Samson went down to Timnath and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he tore him as he would have torn a young goat, and he had nothing in his hand. It's an impressive account, and it's very easy to envision, because we all probably have seen pictures of the king of the jungle and have heard recordings of the lion's terrifying roar. It's easy to imagine this lion springing out from the bush, surprising Samson in anticipation of an easy kill. And it's dramatic to envision the form of rescue that the Lord provided, for he gave to Samson the greatest source of strength. And what was that? It wasn't the great muscular strength which God had bestowed on Samson. It wasn't some type of explosive device. It wasn't even a host of angels. We're told that the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. No greater power exists than that of the Spirit of God. The Spirit was involved with the creation of all things, and therefore certainly is one who has power and reign over all things created. Mightily equipped with the Spirit of the Lord, Samson tore the lion as he would have torn a young goat, and he had nothing in his hand. The point of the account? Well, we can certainly see in it an example again of how nothing is impossible with God. We can see in this account also how the Lord does provide for his people, and we can see in it the protection that he gave to Samson. But it also seems possible that this bare-handed destruction of a lion serves as a type or a picture of the bare-handed destruction of another lion, one which took place centuries later. Scripture refers to another lion-like being, the worst of them all, the fiercest of them all, Satan. Peter directs us to be sober and vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks around seeking whom he may devour. And perhaps it was to Satan that Paul was referring when he spoke to Timothy about being rescued out of the mouth of the lion. The scriptures refer to the devil as a lion because he, like the king of the jungle, is the prince of this world. Ferocious, strong, determined, deadly. He sees us as a lion sees a lamb, a tasty target that he wants to devour. And he is one against whom we are completely defenseless by ourselves. Having conquered through sin, the devil held the entire human race captive. Captive, that is, until a new Samson came onto the scene. Until a New Testament Samson came onto the scene. There are certainly some parallels between the account of Samson's destruction of that lion and our Lord's destruction of the devil and his kingdom. Listen to that same section of Judges with some names changed. Then Jesus went down to Gethsemane, and behold, a lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he destroyed him as he would have destroyed a young goat. And he had nothing in his hand. When Jesus went down to Gethsemane, he was well aware of the fact that he was about to face the most fierce of the devil's assaults and attacks. Satan knew that he had very little time yet to try to stop Jesus from carrying out his mission, and so he approached with some of the worst assaults of Christ's ministry. He enticed Judas into a betrayal that must have been very difficult for Jesus to experience. He undoubtedly held up before Christ all the horrors of the emerging crucifixion, trying to dissuade him from pursuing it, no doubt contributing to Christ's prayer that that cup might pass. The devil used the crowds and the mobs to mock Jesus, perhaps hoping to get Jesus to step down from the cross in a display of his divine power. The devil did all he could, roaring, so to speak, with an unspeakably great force. For what did that situation call? The power of the Spirit. Similar to the way in which the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon Samson, so also did the Spirit of the Lord come mightily upon Christ. We saw that happening at the time of his baptism. Jesus was the fulfillment of that prophecy found in Isaiah when the prophet said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." He possessed all the power of the Godhead throughout his ministry and also there in the Garden of Gethsemane and on the cross of Calvary. And only the power of the Godhead could successfully destroy the devil. In full possession of the Godhead's power and attributes, and filled with the Spirit, Jesus did then destroy the power of that lion-like demon. He destroyed the reign of the devil, and he did it with his bare hands. The greatest bare-handed display of power took place on the cross of Calvary. There on the cross, Christ's bare hands were pierced, and his holy blood was shed. And with that outpouring of his holy blood, the devil was drained of all ability to accuse and condemn. As Christ's blood was shed, a complete cleansing of our sin and guilt was secured, with the result that the devil could no longer dredge up our sins and make them stick. The book of Hebrews explains, "For as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil." When Jesus paid our spiritual debt, he canceled our guilt. Where there is no guilt, there can be no condemnation. Where there is no condemnation, there can be no punishment. Where there is no punishment, there can be no death. And where there is no death, there can be only life and joy and peace for all who put their trust in Christ. We are easily impressed by bare-handed acts of destruction, such as Samson's destruction of that lion. How much more shouldn't we be impressed then with the Lord's conquest of our archenemy, the devil? With those bare hands nailed to the cross, Jesus destroyed the dominion of the devil. And so, nothing in our hands we bring, simply to the cross of Christ may we cling. Our hymn for this morning is hymn 211, stanzas 3, 4, and 7, 211, 3, 4, and 7.